Father God, we thank you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here in this place. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of them, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take that word that springs forth life on the inside of us, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for a revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for a revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you today as we come today, we come not in our own strength, we come not in our own power, we come not in our own might, but in your strength, in your power, in your might, in your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way, and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your anointing. Your anointing that's present today. Your anointing that saturates us. Your anointing that changes us in an instant. We thank you, Father, that that anointing is present and ever present in our life today. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad. We thank you as they're taking some time off. We thank you for refreshing them and helping them. And we thank you, Father, that they're getting refreshed and recharged and ready to go. And Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. And we give you the praise. Praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. And like I said, Dad and Mom, of course, we had Winter Bible Seminar this past week. And right now they're taking a little bit of time off to relax and refire. And actually they start again next Sunday at a crusade going on. So they're always on the move, it seems like. Amen. Amen. Well, I said we had a wonderful Winter Bible Seminar this past week, and if you weren't able to join us, you can actually watch. We can go online at rhema.tv and rewatch some of the meetings as well. But you know, it's just kind of really awesome to see not only what God is doing here, but what God's doing around the world. And it was really cool. On Thursday night, we always have what we call Rhema Night, and we had some of our Rhema schools from around the world share, and it was really, really cool. The guys from Brazil, and in Rhema Brazil, we have like 111 schools in Brazil. But not only do we have 111 schools, we have 10 of them inside prisons. We actually started out in a women's prison, one woman's prison, and after that, they asked us to open more. And they showed the video of some of our graduations there, and some, understand, a Brazilian prison is not as nice as an American prison. It's not, not that anyone wants to be in prison, but it's, their conditions are really terrible. But, it was interesting, which I don't know how that they were able to do it. In fact, they said they don't even know how they were able to do it, but they were able to get permission to take these prisoners outside of the prison to a convention center and have graduation. And not only were they actually put them in caps and gowns, and they had people there, that did the makeup for the women and different, and their hair and everything. It was just amazing, that God is changing lives right there in the middle of a Brazilian prison. These people who are hurting and thinking, and so sometimes you don't realize, whenever you're a part of the ministry here, that's what the ministry is doing around the world. And so excited this week we actually get to meet with them, a number of our international directors from around the world that are here for a meeting, and so we get to talk about what's going on around the world, and so sometimes we don't realize what God is doing around the world through this ministry, but it's awesome, and it's awesome what our graduates are able to do. And so it's like I said, that's just one testimony, and I think it's pretty unique to be able to have a school in a prison, but it's very unique to that they actually allowed them to get off the prison property. Now, they said that there were a lot of armed guards around, and they carried them in shackles and everything else, but praise God, they might have been shackles on the outside, but they're free on the inside, amen? I mean, God is good, amen? Well, I'm going to share with you, some of you that happened to watch the service this morning online, I'm going to share the same message. The reason is because I think you guys need to get a hold of it. You know, and you know, plus, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word, not just by having heard the word. And plus, anytime I preach on the same scriptures, it always comes out different. It's just this is the way I am. I don't know. But I want you to turn your Bibles. And once again, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. But Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 33. And most of you know this scripture and have read this scripture. But I was just going to kind of give some thoughts that the Lord showed me this past week and even more this morning as I was praying. Matthew 6:33, and it says it this way in the NLT. It says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." So, you know, we all know, of course, in the King James says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." It's interesting part about it is that Jesus is red letter here. So Jesus told us to seek the kingdom of God more than anything else. Basically, he's saying that's the number one thing you should do is seek the kingdom of God and live righteously. And what will happen? It says that he will give us everything that we need. Everything that we need. Now maybe some people say, well, you know, I don't have everything that I need. Well, maybe you should start seeking the kingdom of God first of all. Now, you know, I started thinking about what does that mean to seek the kingdom of God? I think it means two things. Number one, it means to add to the kingdom of God by you know, salvation experience, by getting people saved. I believe, you know, that's what's one thing. But I think number two, it's also to build up the other fellow Christians, you know, that are in the kingdom, especially ones that maybe they don't know what you know. I mean, there are many of you here that I know that have been in, you know, in church a long time, maybe all of your life. And, you know, you probably know a whole lot more about the Bible than a lot of other people. But sometimes we take what we know and we don't share it. You know, I believe that, you know, especially Americans, probably everybody, I believe that we're very selfish. And I think sometimes we're selfish with the gospel because, you know, I believe that most Christians believe that it is important to get everything they can for themselves from God. They want to make sure themselves and their family gets everything they can. But we're not as quick to get everything we can and share it with others. We're not as quick to go out and add to the kingdom or build up the kingdom because we're too busy wanting to make sure we got everything for ourselves. You know, and I don't know, maybe you think it's a competition. Well, the more I know and the less you know, the better it makes me. That's not how it is. I mean, you know, Jesus was all about teamwork. It's all about team building. That's why he started with 12 disciples. But, you know, there were more than 12. Those 12, I mean, and those people went out in the upper room experience. I mean, there was like 120 people there. And then it went from there. You know, it's not about you just being, you know, caring about you, yourself, and maybe your few friends. It's about us caring about the world. And the way we care about the world is actually care about the world. You know, I don't think too, you know, a lot of times people care, you know, they care, well, I don't know if they really do care. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, even people who go out and go witnessing a lot of times, do they really go witness because they really care about these people or they do that because they feel that they need to so they can get a gold star from the Lord? You know, and I know that there are some churches and ministries that give you a gold star or honor you for doing that. But, you know, it's not about getting people saved. It's about changing people's lives. You know, and obviously we have plenty of chairs to bring more people here. And that would be good. But, you know, we don't want just people here just to have people here. We want people here to change their lives. You know, and if we really believe that it's a life-changing experience, I think we would talk more about Jesus. You know, now let's go back and hear Matthew chapter 6 before we move on. Matthew 6:25 is really what, you know, goes on. It says this. It says, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" Skipping down to verse 31, it says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, so, you know, Jesus was saying, you know what? Quit worrying about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat, and start thinking about, you know what? There are people who are lost, dying, and hurting. Or there are some people that actually, you know what? They're Christians. They've stamped their ticket to heaven. You know, one fine day, soon and very soon, that, you know, they're gonna go to heaven, but they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. And I believe that's one reason why my grandfather's book, The Believer's Authority, is so important. It's really important to know what our authority as believers is. Because if we don't know what we have, then we can't use what we have. It's just like I said before, you can have $1 million in the bank and starve to death. Because if you don't use that $1 million, you know, to make sure you have things to eat, things to wear, then it's the $1 million is no good. But you know what? We have greater than $1 million. We have Jesus Christ. You know, and it's really interesting. I mean, think about, so there was a big to-do about what you wear and what you do, you know, and think about the day and age that we live in, you know, because I never read in Jesus' times where everybody had the most modern outfit. You know, never wore, you know, where Jesus got the new Hugo Boss suit on one day, or, you know, or Giorgio Armani, or, you know, Ralph Lauren, and all these things. I mean, you know, even, you know, you never read about the newest Nike sandal that Jesus wore. You know, because in the day and age we live, is clothing is really important. In fact, a lot of times, you know, in especially in schools, and you know, people make fun of people because they don't have the right clothes. Now, it's interesting, you know, part about it is, and I made the reference this morning. I mean, you know, and I'm not comparing Jesus to Fred Flintstone, all right? But you know, when Jesus walked the earth, and at least the pictures that we have people have painted, he basically has the same outfit on. And so I started thinking, who else wore the same outfit? I mean, Fred Flintstone had the same outfit on. Every time I saw a cartoon, you know, Fred had the same outfit on. You know, clothing was, it wasn't no big deal. You know, but the day and age that we live in, clothing's a big deal. Things are a big deal. And you know, and I believe that the Lord does want to bless us. But, you know, sometimes we make a big deal out of things that are not that big a deal. You know, in fact, I mean, you know, in some of the, you know, some of the churches, you know, even still today, it's all about how you look when you come to church. You got to wear the, you know, some churches, you know, it's all about wearing the right church outfit. And if you don't wear the right church outfit, then you don't fit in. You know, you got to get the gold watch, and you got to have the right suit, and you got to drive the right kind of car, you know. And I mean, there are some places it's all about the outward appearance. But really, with Jesus could care less what you look like. It's all about the inside. Now here's the deal, is for some reason, what Jesus is saying, you know what? Unbelievers, they're more concerned about the outside. But you guys should be more concerned about the inside. Especially if you know who you are, you know, in Christ Jesus. Now, basically, you know, when I read the scripture, I think about, you know, what the Apostle Paul tells us. He tells us, you know, that it doesn't matter, you know, that God has met all our needs through Christ Jesus. That I've already met your need. Well, if he's already met our needs, then why are we worried about it? The reason we're worried about it, because we don't believe that God's met our needs. You know, and so the thing about it is what Jesus is really trying to say here now, because we have the whole gospel. We have the full Bible now, you know, to read. So we know that by Christ Jesus, all our needs are met. So we shouldn't be worrying about our needs. What we should be worrying about is bettering the kingdom of God. You know, through obviously through expanding it, but all through helping people that need help. And I tell you what, there are a lot of people out there that need help. You know, and I found out, you know, more, you know, and here's the deal. It seems that a lot of Christians are more concerned about the hurting people around the world than they are the hurting people in their own little world. I mean, there's hurting people right here in this city. I tell you what, you know, you go to a hospital, you'll find hurting people. You go to a funeral home, you'll find hurting people. You go to prison, you'll find hurting people. people hurt. I mean, you don't have to go that. I mean, you can be at your own job and see hurting people. Now, my grandfather always said this. He said each and every morning he would wake up and he would say, "Lord, make me a blessing today." He said he never prayed one time to bless me. And I always joke, like I said, if you really want blessings, then the best thing to do is carry around some pepper and, get a sniff of it every once in a while. And after you do, that will probably cause you to sneeze. And every time you sneeze, people will say, "God bless you." And you'll be blessed many times in a day. But you know what? It won't do you any good. A lot of people say, "God bless you," but did they really mean it? And sometimes I think, us Christians, we say we care about the world, but do we really care? Do we really care? I mean, we say we care because that's the Christian thing to do. But, we should care about the world. We should care about the people that are hurting. We should care about the people that don't know, what you know. And I use the illustration this morning. You guys haven't got a Costco here yet, have you? Okay, well, they opened a Costco a year and a half ago or so. Maybe I'm wrong on my dates, there in Tulsa. And I tell you what, when they opened that Costco in Tulsa, I heard more people tell me how awesome Costco was. And they said, "You know what, Craig, I know it actually costs a membership fee to get in, but you can save so much money, it's worth it." So in essence, nothing wrong with Costco. It's a nice place. I mean, some people say, "Well, it's just a great experience." But what I found out that I know a lot of Christians that were more excited about Costco than they were about Jesus, because they talked more about Costco than Jesus. And I'm not trying to pick on them, but sometimes it's interesting. Things that we're really excited about, we talk about. I mean, we all know people who are football fans or basketball fans or whatever, or they're big, they're really big college boosters from whatever college, they support, because that's all they talk about. Because that's what they're interested in. It's what they care about, but I'm thinking, so in essence, it's more important that you save money on toilet paper than talk about how good your God is. And I'm sure no one actually feels that way, but sometimes it seems that way. Because and it's interesting, because basically Jesus told us the most important thing we should do is be mindful of the kingdom of God. Not talk about Costco. And like I said too, also, let's say you won a competition, you won a contest or, whatever, you won $5,000. Man, people come in, they're like, "Oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe this. I entered this contest. I figured there's no way I was going to win. And I won $5,000. Can you believe this?" Whenever, there's not even a contest, but, everybody, can enter into the kingdom of God. It's free. And it's, you get a whole lot more than $5,000. You get eternal life. But people are more excited about winning $5,000. And they said, maybe it's because they learn in life that when things are too good to be true, they probably are. And it's just too good to be true what Jesus really has done for us. But it's not too good to be true. It's how much that he loves us. And it's amazing how much that we... and I'm not blaming anyone or saying we don't really care, but sometimes I think that when we've been a Christian a long time, it's not as big of a deal as it used to be. Well, if it's not as big of a deal as it used to be, well, these people who are not Christians don't think it's a big deal either. Why should I get saved? It's not a big deal to you, so must not be a big deal to me either. It doesn't sound like it's life-changing to you. You can care less. I mean, you don't show up every Monday talking about how awesome church was yesterday. You show up every morning Monday griping about it's Monday. Five more days and it'll be Friday. I'll get a weekend. And in fact, a lot of times, us as individuals, we don't act much different than non-Christians do. We're just surviving. But, the thing about it is I'm not surviving. Sometimes things are tough. But as a Christian, I know what to do. But you know, I see so many people that are going through some of the same experiences that I'm going through, and they don't know what to do. They're trying to figure out what do they do? What do we do? Now, if you bring here to church, I mean, almost every Sunday night, I tell you what to do whenever things are going terrible. You know, when you can't do anything else, you trust in God. Amen. You trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. It's what you do. But you know what? It's awesome. You know what to do. Great. Praise God for it. But what about these people who don't? Well, you know, brother, I'm not a preacher. I mean, you know, you expect me to be. I mean, you know, I just work a job. Well, the sad part about it is, you know, if you work a job, or you know, maybe some of you don't work anymore, you're retired. But if people around you don't know you're a Christian, then that's an issue. If you work a job with people, they don't know you're a Christian, or you live next door to people, they don't know you're a Christian, or you hang out with people and they don't know you're a Christian, then that's a problem. In fact, you know, it's interesting sometimes that the only time that I've, you know, there are certain businessmen around town, the only time I actually knew they're a Christian, it was because I found their name in the Christian business yellow pages. I didn't know they're a Christian besides that. You know, and it is interesting because if we're a Christian, wouldn't we really want to let Christ shine in our life and talk about how much he means to us? Because really, you know, you realize that your salvation is the greatest thing that ever took place in your entire life. I mean, you know, some of you that are married, I'm sure it was an awesome day when you got married, but it's not as good as it was the day you got saved. Now, I mean, I get it. Finding a mate, you know, the Bible says you find a wife, you found a good thing. I'm not sure about the wife finding a husband, if it's a good thing or not. But anyway, you know, maybe find a husband, you find work, you know, but whatever. I'm joking, you know, but the thing is that more people are excited about getting married than they are about Christ. And there's nothing wrong getting excited about getting married. I mean, hopefully if you're getting married, you're excited about it, because if you're not, maybe you shouldn't get married. I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, it's just some good pastoral counseling right there. If you're kind of dreading getting married, then maybe you should be a bachelor for the rest of your life, all right? And I don't mean go on the show The Bachelor. I mean just be a bachelor, all right? But you know, it's interesting because, you know, a Christian, you know, is a follower of Christ, right? I mean, you know, we do what Christ did. You know, one of my favorite things to read is, you know, it says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And then it says he went about doing good. And then it talks about him preaching and teaching and healing people. But the first thing he did was good. Well, what do you mean be good? I mean, that Christ was a nice guy. He was a nice person. It was interesting. Everywhere that Christ went, people were drawn to him. You know, why were they drawn to him? Because there was just something about him. You know, but the deal is when you spend time with the Lord, there should be something about you too. I mean, you can tell, you should be able to tell when people are Christians. I mean, I've actually been in the mall before, you know, or someplace I've actually been talking to them, or maybe there's been a certain salesperson, you know, maybe I'm at the mall or some kind of store. And I'm just by the way the person carries himself, I know they're a Christian. You know, and I've been, you know, in other states, and you know, and some people they don't know who I am, but you can just tell they're a Christian just by the way they talk. I mean, a lot of times you can just, you know, tell. I mean, Christians tend to use the word blessed. You know, man, I'm so blessed. Now, people of the world use to say, well, I'm just so lucky. You know, sometimes, and I always key on that, you know, when I see people, you know, now obviously there are certain people when they do an interview, you know, after, I mean, like the Philadelphia Eagles after they won, I mean, it pretty much was evident that they were given glory and honor to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, their Savior. I mean, they were pretty vocal about that, and I think it's awesome. But even the ones that are not vocal, if you listen to them about, you know, we're just so blessed to be here, or you know, or I mean, you know, they might not be as outspoken, But you can tell just by the way they talk. There's something different about them. Now I want to read here from Mark chapter 16. And this was with Jesus talking to his disciples. And you all know the scriptures. You've read it. Mark 16:15. Once again, read from the New Living Translation. And I'm going to go ahead and start reading just for time's sake. It says, then he, that being Jesus, he told them to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. That's the gospel, the good news. And anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Now, notice, I mean, some people think, well, because he was talking to his disciples, they were thinking this was about the disciples. But it's interesting, he was telling his disciples that these are signs that follow the people who believe. What do they believe? They believe in me. Now, you realize that not every one of his disciples turned out, you know, to have pulpit ministries. You know, a lot of times we think, well, you know, a disciple is really a follower after Christ. Many, you know, but you were also followers after Christ too. In fact, we don't just follow Christ, we have Christ on the inside of us. Amen. And it's interesting because it says that if we believe that we can cast out devils, it also says if we believe that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, it doesn't say if you believe that, you know, and you find other Christians that are sick, that you can pray for them. It says you lay hands on anyone. What does that mean? Well, if you know you're working next to someone and tell you they have a headache, then you can say, you know what, I'm gonna lay hands on you, and you're gonna lose that headache. Like, well, how's that gonna happen? Because you believe. Well, that just sounds real. But you know, Jesus was trying to say that's what should happen. Believers should lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Now, interesting, it says to go into all the world and preach the gospel or the good news. I mean, the good news is really just tell them about how good Jesus is, how life-changing it is. And a lot of times we've regulated, well, that's only for the preachers. You know, but the thing about it is, I mean, you know, I take the scripture literally myself to go into all the world. I believe that I'm called to go into all the world because I do. All right? But, you know, I believe that we're all called to go into our own world. And like I gave the illustration this morning, you know, even as a young kid, I tried to skateboard a few times. Every time I tried skateboarding, I'd end up more on my rear end than I did skateboarding. It just didn't work for me. So I never got into the skateboard culture. I didn't wear the skateboard clothing and, you know, didn't have the skateboard hairstyle. And I can talk to skateboarders, but I don't really relate to their culture. But if you're a skateboarder, you can relate to their culture. Now, I could relate more to the people who were athletes, especially people who played football, because I played football and I understood how they work. But, you know, but the biggest people I can relate to are people who go to racetracks, because that's all I did growing up. My dad, before I was even a year old, he drug me to the racetracks. And for all my life, I've been around a racetrack with racetrack people. You know, the ones that most people think are rednecks, and you know, and I know how they act, I know how they think, I know their mentality, and even to this date that I have a ministry to racetrack people. I mean, you know, each and every day I have an opportunity to minister to those folks, and they get me, and I get them because I'm a part of their culture. They understand me. It's my world. You know, some of you wouldn't fit in with my world. I mean, you can go to the racetrack and that's fine. You can talk to people, but you know, you don't really understand, you know, ins and outs of how they think. They think a little differently than some of the church going people think. All right, you know, some of them are a little rough around the edges and things. But you know, the thing about it is, I believe it's our responsibility to go to the world that we have, and show forth Jesus Christ. Now, I don't 100% believe that we have to always preach the gospel, because I believe the best way to spread the gospel is to live the gospel. Because, you know, remember the old adage is people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, they want to see that you care. You know, and how can we not care? But because you realize, you know, read the New Testament, that God is love. And it talks about the love of God being shed abroad in your heart. If the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, then you should really care. You know, and you know, when you see people hurting, it should bother you. Because people hurting means they need help. You know, and we have the wherewithal to help, but because the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, or the same Spirit that was with him, is with us at all times. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we have the wherewithal to help people, but a lot of times we don't because we're too busy. Or, you know, sometimes it's not that we don't want to help people, we just don't notice. We're just oblivious because we're so busy doing our daily routine that we just kind of just breezed on by. We weren't really thinking about, you know, what they're going through or whatever. You know, and I will say that there have been times in my life, especially that, you know, I've been thinking about some things at work or whatever, and I passed by people in the hallway, and I didn't say hi. I wasn't trying to be mean. I was just thinking about things I needed to do, and I really wasn't thinking about, you know, greeting them and saying hi. And some people say, well, you're really rude. Well, I didn't mean to be rude. I just wasn't thinking. And sometimes, you know, so sometimes we're not trying to be rude or trying to be mean. You know, we're just, you know, like for instance, you know, I go to Walmart quite a bit. Many people know that because you can buy everything at Walmart, everything from underwear to milk, you know, to tires. If you want to buy tires at Walmart, you can buy tires for your car. You buy motor oil. There's everything at Walmart. In fact, we're talking today that, you know, if they don't have it inside Walmart, go online, then they'll sell you anything at Walmart online. You know, so, but I shop a lot at Walmart. And, you know, anywhere there's probably people that are hurting. You know, and probably, you know, at Walmart, usually I have a job to do. I mean, I have this list, and I'm supposed to buy things on the list. And I also know that my wife and other people who write the list down, you know, say things that we need. Sometimes they forget about things that we really need. So I always try to, you know, remember other things that we might need because I don't want to have to go back to Walmart a few hours later, which I've done that before. Once I went to Walmart three different times on the same day because someone forgot to say what they needed and, you know, and so, you know, sometimes we're so busy thinking about what we're trying to do that we forget, we don't think about the people that walked around us or that's hurting around us or pay attention because, you know, one time I was walking through Walmart and I found someone that they were crying, you know, and I found that they were just going through a tough time, that they just got some news on the phone that there's some really bad news about someone in their family that was, and they broke down and were crying. So you know what? I prayed with them right there, you know, but how many times do we not notice that somebody is crying or hurting or, you know, because, and I get it. I'm not saying that we're, you know, but, you know, that's why we need to be more, you know, we need to think about our surroundings more. But really, you know, we need to show forth Jesus wherever we are, whether we're at work, you know, I mean, how many times, and I'm not saying that we have to always, you know, necessarily preach the word. We just have to live the word, or we just have to, you know, if nothing else, just be nice. Remember the golden rule, do unto others as you would like them to do to you, not before they do it to you. And sometimes, I mean, you know, we, like I said, I always joke about, we want to give people a piece of our mind, but if we have the mind of Christ, you know, and the funny part about it, when you have the mind of Christ, you don't try to give them a piece of your mind, but you don't even want to give them peace from the mind of Christ. You know, but man, if God is really that important to us, you think that we'd talk more about him. We'd be more excited about it. You know, and I know when people get saved, a lot of times they get really excited. But then after a while, you know, in fact, I've even heard some older Christians say, well, after a while, they won't be so excited, so zealous anymore. Like, that's a good thing. You know, and it's a good thing to be excited. You know, and I know, you know, a lot of times people, you know, that we try to compare, you know, a sporting event to church, and people are a whole lot more excited at their sporting events than they are here at church. Now, I know there's sometimes people get excited and shout and run around and whatever, and I'm not saying that we have to shout and run around, but we need to realize that that when we got saved, it's better than winning the Super Bowl. Amen. It's better than winning the World Series or the NBA championship. I mean, you know, eternal life. I mean, the thing is, you can't buy it. And I don't care how much you exercise, you can't get it by exercising, by practicing. You know, and you know, it's free. Now, it wasn't free to Jesus. It cost him his life. But he sacrificed so that you can have it free. And, you know, I just think that we should care more. You know, and if we care more, I mean, we'd want to bring more people to church because we would want to make sure that they get a hold of the same Jesus that we got a hold of. You know, right here in this small little church, we've had some great healing testimonies. We had one lady that was going on Tuesday to get part of her foot amputated. And she came down for healing on Sunday and her foot came alive and she didn't have to get it amputated. That's a big deal. I mean, many of you, that I know, you've had some really big deals happen to you. You've had some great healings happen to you. But you know what? You know, and I'm not saying you weren't excited about it, but man, I mean, I'd be telling everyone, hey, I was going to have my foot cut off, but now I don't. It's a big deal. That's pretty exciting. You know, and sometimes here's the thing. When God does something for us, I mean, you know, when he provides things, sometimes we get excited for a short time, but then we don't. Then it's not as big a deal anymore. You know, but, you know, and sometimes we're afraid to actually share a testimony because we don't want to rub it in on other people. I mean, I want to tell everyone how good God was and what he did for me. It's just so awesome. You know, because there's other people that they don't know my Jesus. They don't know my God, but they can. And they'll probably want to know more if every Monday I come talking about how awesome things are. You know, maybe like, man, I'd like to experience that. You know, I was a lot of this sermon kind of came as a result of the other day. The great evangelist Billy Graham passed away. You know, and it was a precious day. You know, he was ready to go. 99 years old, he was ready to go, and some of you might have seen that Kathy Lee Gifford was on national television talking about this, and basically she preached a message. You know, and basically saying, you know, this is not a time to be sorrow. This is a time to be happy because we know where he is, and if you want to be there too, you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Basically, what she said. But then she said these words, and it really hit me really, really strongly. She said, you know, people ask me why I'm more outspoken about my faith, and it's because if you know, someone said, well, if I had the cure for cancer, I would share it with everybody. But, you know, and technically, I guess, when I say that, I do have the cure for cancer, that's Jesus Christ. But, you know, basically, he said, I have the cure, you know, for your soul. So why wouldn't I want to share it with everybody? You know, and that made me think, you know, so many Christians, we don't really share it, you know, sometimes because we don't want people to think we're weird or whatever. But, I mean, how weird is it? I mean, you know, you've been coming to church for your entire life. Do you realize that you know, 80% of Americans believe in God. So it's not really that weird to believe in God. All right. Maybe it's weird to believe in God and actually talk about it. Maybe that's weird. But it's weird that it's weird. Because if, you know, because like I said, this morning we were singing a song about Jesus, the center of our joy. If Jesus, you know, Jesus be the center of our life, if he's really the center of our life, man, we should be talking about him all the time. I can't go anywhere without talking about Jesus, talking about how good he is, and talking about, you know what, if it wasn't for him, I might not be here. But then, you know, I think over and over again about what-if scenario, and thinking in line with someone like Billy Graham and the number of people that came to the Lord as a result of his ministry. But what if someone would have never told him about Jesus? Because, you know, in his story, you know, he didn't grow up in a Christian home. I mean, he got saved because another evangelist told him about Jesus. So, you know, but sometimes we say, well, yeah, I mean, maybe they need to go to some big evangelistic meeting. Maybe they should be able to talk to their coworker. You know, see, you know, the thing about it is sometimes we say, well, yeah, it's the job of some evangelist to get someone saved. No, it's not. Or maybe even if it is, it might be your job to get him to the meeting. You know, because, and I realize, you know, not everyone, you know, knows how to talk. You know, I have found out one of the best ways to invite someone to church is tell them you'll take them out to eat before or after church. Hey, I want to bless you with a meal. But you know what? In order to bless you with a meal, you know, we're going to go to church first. All right, that's cool. You know, and it's interesting. One day, me and my friend, we were actually, we were eating at a restaurant, you know, and he happened to kind of think the waitress was kind of cute. We ate there quite a few times because he wanted to talk with the girl and, you know. And so, you know, it was really interesting. So we were talking about, and for whatever reason, I mean, actually it was kind of I guess it was just fortunate and for him. I don't think we didn't really mean to, but we were talking about eating sushi. And she made this statement. I mean, she was serving us her food, and she heard us talking about sushi. She goes, "I've never had sushi before." And so, of course, he like jumped in and said, "Oh, you want to have sushi sometime?" And actually, we had already talked about it. Said we were he asked her, said, "Well, do you work Wednesday night?" And she said, "No, I'm off." He said, "Well, after church, we're going to go to eat some sushi." Now, this is how stupid we really were. And so she said, so he was like, "Well, maybe, you know, we can, you know, meet you and you can eat sushi with us." But you know what she said? She goes, "Can I come to church too?" Now, you know, we didn't know where she was, thinking, you know, I will say I was right there too. And neither one of us actually thought about asking her to come to church. So that was really pretty stupid. And then I felt stupid because here we are, you know, inviting her to a meal. I say we, it really was him. You know, I because he wanted to get to know this girl. And it turned out that later on, so she went to church with us, and then we went and ate sushi. And then she began to ask questions about what we believed. Now, it's interesting because she was a server, and she worked with a lot of Rhema students, Rhema graduates, and she said, "Well, how come that they don't act like you act?" I said, "Because I'm the teacher, they're the student." See, the deal is what they were trying to do is they're trying to shove God down this girl's throat. We didn't invite her to come to church. The point is that, you know, we waited for her to ask questions, you know, and then we begin to talk. Because she could see by the way we lived, the way we talked, the way we acted, we weren't necessarily, you know, that we cared. You know, and it was just interesting, how she had to invite herself to church, so that was pretty sad. You know, and then sometimes, I went out to eat with one of my friends and his wife, and his wife was telling a story about, she was so excited about her sister-in-law had just got saved. She's actually from a foreign country originally. She had some weird views about Christianity and things as a whole. And so one day she was asking, this lady a lot of questions, you know, about what she believed and that kind of stuff. And so my friend went and picked up his wife and they're talking about it on the way home. And he goes, "Honey, the reason she was asking questions, she was ready to get saved." And she goes, "Well, I didn't." So she actually, she got her on the phone. Now we have video chat or whatever. So she was able to FaceTime with her and talked a little more. And she said the salvation prayer that night. The thing about it, but she almost slapped herself. She goes, "You know, I didn't notice that she was ready to get saved." You know, and sometimes that we're so oblivious because, you know, we don't want to, you know, shove God down someone's throat, that sometimes we don't realize that people are ready. People are hungry. People are hurting and they need someone to help them. You know, and so sometimes I believe that we need to, you know, we need to think about what's going on and think about why is this person asking questions? You know, and we were able to lead this girl through salvation because she started asking questions. You know, and it was interesting, you know, and but man, we should care more about the world, you know, because the greater one's on the inside of us. Now, let's read this from Matthew, the 9th chapter. Matthew 9, verse 35, and I'm going to go and start. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. You know, and that's good. We should care about the harvest, but you know what? Sometimes we should be willing to go into the harvest. Someone say, well, what can I do? I'm not a preacher. You know, but you don't always have to be a preacher. You know what? A lot of you know a lot of things. You've read the word, or you know what? If nothing else, why not you share a book with somebody? Like the Believer's Authority. You know, because you say, well, you know, I don't know what to say, but you know, this book really blessed me. You know, you should read it. And I mean, you know, but we should have compassion on people that are hurting. Jesus was moved with compassion, and if he's on the inside of you, then you have compassion on the inside. Now, the reason you're sometimes people wonder, you know, well, Craig, how come you have so much compassion for people? Because I have Jesus on the inside of me, and Jesus has compassion for people. When I see people hurting, I hurt. It bothers me. I hate it when I see people hurting. I hate it when I see people that don't have a hope or whatever. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been watching different things that happen on TV, and I begin to cry for the people because you can tell that they're just hurting. You know, sometimes when people are rioting and things like that, I mean, you know, the reason to do it because they're hurting because they don't know any better. You know, but sometimes we don't realize that we have that on the inside. Well, what do we need to do? Well, Paul told Timothy to stir up that gift. So you have a gift of compassion on the inside of you. You need to stir it up. You say, well, yeah, but but who am I? Well, you're a believer. You know what the word says. I mean, you know, I know some of you are here every Sunday night, and I know we've get you some great messages to go out and touch the world. You know, we've talked about what to do when you don't know what to do. And that's a big thing. I mean, knowing what to do when you don't know what to do is a really big thing. But I want to leave you off with this. And this is an interesting story whenever you begin to really look into it. In Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, we see the death of John the Baptist whenever he was beheaded. And when Jesus heard the news, you know, it bothered him. You know, he was grieving. And we pick up in verse number 13, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. So Jesus, you know, heard the news and he wanted to be by himself and kind of process what's going on. And some of us, we've been there when things are going on. Sometimes we want to be alone. Sometimes we want to process, you know, things that are going on. And it happens that way. But, you know, it's interesting. This is really interesting. It says, but the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. And Jesus saw a huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So you know what? Even when Jesus was hurting, he still cared. And you know, I think about that many times because, you know, I've gone through a lot of things, especially recently, man, and I've hurt. But you know what? In the middle of me hurting, I still care about other people who are hurting. Because you know, the thing about it is, I know what to do because when I'm hurting, I know how to get comfort. They don't. You know, and it's interesting that Jesus still had compassion. It wasn't like, hey guys, just leave me alone. Go away. I want to be by myself. No, he still cared. Because that's how much Jesus loves us. You know, and the thing about sometimes, you know, we don't have that same kind of compassion. Sometimes we're a little rude whenever we're going through things that we're going through. But you know what? We need still to realize in the middle of some of our worst situations You know, there are people that are hurting. And, you know, one day I helped a guy, and I was going through something that was a number of years ago, and, you know, it was a whole lot worse than what he was going through. But you know what? You know, actually later on, he actually apologized later on. I wouldn't even come and talk to you if I knew what you were going through during that time. I said, no, man, don't worry about it. I mean, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to be a blessing to you. And don't worry about what I'm going through, because I'll get through what I'm going through, because I know what to do. You were hurting, and I could tell. I mean, and the guy broke down and began to cry. I mean, you know, 30-year-old man began to cry about some things. In essence, it wasn't probably that big a deal, but to him at that point in time, it was a big deal because he couldn't see a way out. And sometimes you get to that situation where all you see is an issue, and you can't see a way out, and you don't know how you're going to get through this. And you begin to cave because, you know, you don't realize that the greater one is there helping you, leading you, guiding you. And he needed some help. You know, just the other day, I got a call. I mean, I knew the family very well. I didn't know one of the kids, this kid that well, but he died of a drug overdose. Man, I mean, I felt so bad for the family and for what they're going through. And I called his older sister and began to, and she was, you know, I knew her very well and from my youth group and things. And, you know, and I'm saying, I'm sorry. I mean, I wish I could say more, but all I can say is I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say to make it any better. And I wish I could make it better for you because I want to make it better for you. But I know you're hurting. And she goes, no, you don't understand. The fact that you called, just hearing your voice, it's comforting. You know, and the thing about, you know, so hearing my voice is comforting to her. You know, and it's because it's kind of like when, you know, Jesus is comforting to us. And sometimes that, you know, sometimes whenever we're hurting so bad, we don't let anybody else in. You know, and just the fact that she was able to hear my voice helped her in that situation. And I'm just glad to be a comfort, you know, to her. But, you know, it's interesting. When Jesus was having a tough time, he still cared about other people. Now, what's interesting part about it, and a lot of us, we don't put two and two together. Sometimes, you know, we hear stories and, you know, in the Bible, we don't put two and two together. But after that, you know, it says, so, he had compassion on them. And then verse 15 says, that evening the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. So he was saying, you know, hey guys, we're way out there because, you know, you wanted to go to a remote place, Jesus, and we're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you know, there's no Walmarts anywhere nearby. There's not a McDonald's or a Sonic or anything. These people, I mean, there's not a Quick Trip. I guess I don't have Quick Trip around here. But there's not an OnQ or there's not a Circle K. There's not even a gas station, you know, with a small little convenience store. You know, obviously none of these things existed back in those days. But, you know, it's interesting because the way that we can tell when people's really out in the country, whenever they say, well, you know what, I'm 30 minutes from the nearest Walmart. Because if there's people there, there's a Walmart there. I mean, you know, the other day someone told me that they lived an hour and 15 minutes from the nearest Walmart. You know, they're out in the sticks somewhere. I mean, for a Walmart to be an hour and 15 minutes away from a Walmart, I mean, you know, you are in the middle of nowhere. All right. I mean, you know, so it's interesting how we think about where we live based upon Walmart or McDonald's or something like that, you know. But they said, Jesus, send these guys away because, you know, they don't, there's no food around here. But verse number 16, but Jesus said, that isn't necessary. You feed them. The disciples say, well, what are we going to feed them with? We don't got nothing to feed these people. There's a lot of people out there, you know, and so it's like, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I wonder, I mean, you know, you realize that these disciples there, they saw a lot of miracles. And so, you know, it's interesting that they still didn't believe. You think at some point in time, you know, that they would get over to their head, you know what? You know, this is Jesus Christ you're talking with. You know, I mean, eventually it got over to my head. I mean, I know many times that when it came to a work environment, there were things that my mom wanted us to do. And I'm like, Mom, that, you know, we just can't do that. And, She'd read her favorite scripture, but you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So now my standpoint is that, Mom, we can't do it. As Mom, it might be expensive, and like for instance, at our church there in Tulsa, we have the only globe that lowers from the ceiling and lights up and spins around, because we looked everywhere for somebody that had a globe. We contacted the theme parks. Surely Disney World has something like that somewhere, and there was nothing you could buy, so we had to make it. So I remember telling my mom, I said, it's not we can't, because, Mom and my dad's like, well, surely you can do that. Well, yeah, we can do it. I don't know what it's going to cost, but we can do it. We can figure out a way. And so we did it. And it's amazing, we didn't actually, when I'm off somewhere, lower the globe, but, we lowered that globe down and people, take pictures like crazy. Because it's one of a kind. Now, it's not impossible to think lower things. That's not possible to put lights on something and spin it, make it spin around. I mean, that's all possible. We just couldn't find anyone who had it already done, so we could buy it. Because if somebody over in China created this, we wouldn't have to worry about that. It would be a whole lot easier, a whole lot cheaper. But no, it costs money. And so, my point is, we could do it, but it's going to cost money. That's okay. I want it done. So, sometimes there are things that they want done. It's going to be done. I just figured, we're going to do it. Doesn't matter. We're going to figure out a way. So you would think the disciples by now would like, if Jesus said it, it's going to happen. But it says right here, it is necessary. You feed them. Verse 17. But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Jesus said, bring them here. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They ate as much as they wanted. Now, notice that. So that means there were people. It happens. Anytime you go to a buffet thing where people, there's people that do second thirds. If these people really had as much as they wanted, I guarantee you there were some second and third people. Hey, give me some more of that fish and that bread. Two little pieces is not enough. It doesn't say that he fed them just enough. There was more than enough. More than enough. But there were only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. That's not a lot. And it says, they ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. They had leftovers. And it says about 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and the children. Now, something else that just really hit me. Think about that. Jesus was trying to go to a remote area, and 5,000 men plus women and children followed him. Why'd they follow him? Because there was something about Jesus. Well, what about him? It's because they knew that they had issues and that Jesus cared. Even when he was in the middle of his own issues, he still cared. And he cared enough to feed these people. But when we read the story and we think about this, they only had a little bit. But you know what? God will take the little bit you have. And it'll be a blessing to people. And so, when you think that you don't know a whole lot about the word, what can I do? I'm not a preacher. You know what? God will take the little bit that you do know, the little bit you have. I've seen people that they don't know really what to say, but you know what? God just helps them say what they need to say. And really, we read the Apostle Paul. He talks about my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? I didn't know what to say in that instance. There's many times whenever people come and they have a need, and I'm like, at first I'm like, I don't know what to say. And all of a sudden, on the inside, something just hits me. What it was the Spirit of God that just quickened me a scripture. And then from that one scripture, another scripture comes up. From that script, another scripture, And I said, I thought about this scripture. I thought about that scripture. And all these, there's been scriptures I never thought about in years that came forth. Why? Because you know what? God will use what he has, even when all he has is you. I mean, you got to be better than two fish, two dead fish, and five loaves of bread. I mean, you're a walking human being. I mean, God can use you. I mean, especially, I mean, you know, think about, I mean, it's just interesting when, you know, been a part of taking people over on missions trips, and, you know, these people feel they don't know anything. But you know what? The people that, you know, these people there to listen to them, they don't know they don't know anything. You know, I don't know how many times my grandfather said, you know, a lot of times whenever we get over and some miraculous things took place, I never seen it before in my life. But I didn't tell him I'd never seen it before in my life. I just act like it happens all the time. Because this is Jesus we're talking about. That's no big deal. Well, we feed 5,000 people all the time. I mean, you know, you come next week, we'll feed 5,000 more. You know, maybe bring a few more fish. Might be good. But, you know, it's the thing about it is, man, our God's so awesome. I mean, it doesn't matter if we only have a little bit. He'll take what you have and he'll bless it. It will be enough. And it's, you know, not just enough, it'll be more than enough. And I tell you, I mean, there's been many times that like I said, I didn't know what to say to people, but man, the fact that I was willing to open my mouth and share, you know, like I said, I mean, I actually felt inadequate the other day calling this young lady and, you know, because I didn't know what to say. I mean, what do you say? You just found out your brother died. You know, I mean, he was only like 26 or something like that. I'm not sure exactly his age, but you know, young man. And the devil's out to get people, especially the young people, the young generation. You know, I believe it because you know the time is short. And I didn't know what to say. I really didn't know what to say to really comfort her because you know I'm sorry doesn't feel adequate, but you know what. It didn't matter what I said. Whatever I said was adequate enough. Actually, the fact that I cared was adequate enough. The fact that I took time in a busy week to place a phone call to somebody that was hurting spoke volumes. And the fact that I've been there, you know, in different times in her life when she was hurting. You know, and sometimes... You know, we have these little pity parties and we're thinking, well, no one really cares. And, you know, and a lot of times, too, sometimes we have Christians and God lays it on our hearts, you know, to maybe say something. Sometimes we're too embarrassed to say something. You know, people are hurting. And it's amazing, you know. And then now we have a great opportunity. I mean, I don't know how many people that I have... been able to talk to online, people that I don't even know. There's some people that don't even really know me, you know, but I've been able to talk to online and help through situations. And they just reached out because they're hurting and they just figured them, why not? You know, but man, Jesus was still able to minister when he was hurting himself. You know, and I said, you know, it wasn't just minister to one or two or three. I mean, we're talking about 5,000 plus people that were there, you know, and, you know, I'm sure he didn't really feel like ministering that day. He felt like just getting alone and grieving, but praise God, you know, and I think that we need to have that same compassion that it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter that we're not feeling the best, you know, that day, you know, we need to understand people are hurting and they need help. And you should know what to do anyway because you know, you already have the greater one on the inside. You know what to do. You know what the word says. And if you don't, get a hold of the Bible. If you don't, that's why you need to be here every Sunday night. We talk about what to do every Sunday night, but it's pretty much the theme I talk about. If you haven't realized it yet, we talk about how to get through life. That's what we do here. I mean, every time we talk about what do? We get through life, you know, and understand that things in life happen. Things you didn't plan on. We talked about the other day, the fig tree, you know. I mean, Jesus didn't plan on the fig tree experience. But he got through it, and you can get through it too. You know, but there are people that are hurting. And I believe that we as Christians need to pray that God will help us identify people that are hurting. Help us to kind of get out of our own little world and think about other people that are around about us. You know, people we work with, people we're around, people we hang out with, people, you know, that you know, you just, you know, never realize. Maybe some of your neighbors. You know, you know that they're hurting and that they need help. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, there's so many people that think, well, you know, if I had money, I'd help them. But what we have is greater than money. Jesus Christ is greater than any money. I mean, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. And we thank you, Father, to help us to be a greater blessing to this lost and dying and hurting world, Father. Father, we thank you each and every day that as we live our life, that you'll bring across our path people that are hurting. And you'll help us to recognize that. Well, help us to recognize that people are going through a tough time. And help us to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. Help us to be able to be a blessing to them. Father God, we thank you that help us to be able to share the gospel, but not only that, help us to be able to invite them to come to church and to be life-changing to help them. Father God, we thank you that if this Christian walk is so exciting, that we'll be excited about it again. Help us to refire and to refuel the way we used to be when we first got saved. Father God, we just thank you for each and every one of them. We thank you, Father, for what you mean to them. And we thank you, Father, that each and every one of us will just refire what we have on the inside. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without making him Lord and Savior of their life. So if you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I've never made him Lord and Savior in my life. And I want to tonight. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, man, at one time I walked with God, but I kind of turned my back and went away, and I want to rededicate myself to God today. Or maybe you're here, say, Craig, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. But I've never been filled with the Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Spirit of God and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you never had that Pentecostal experience, that extra endowment from power from on high, man, you need to get a hold of that. If that's you, you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord, or you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you get that. It belongs to you. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you right now for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that's not saved, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. We thank you, Father, for their life. We thank you for everything you're doing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Before we leave tonight, let's all stand up. If there's anyone here that needs healing in their body, anyone here that needs healing in their body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. And I know, like I said, we've had many testimonies in the past. And so anybody here need healing? If you need healing, come down here. We want to minister to you. You know, I mean, we don't want you to leave this place sick. Amen. You know, praise God. Well, guess we're all healed, folks, tonight. Amen. That's awesome. Oh, you need healing? Come on down here. Come on down. Amen. You know, don't miss out. You know, anybody else, you need healing, come down here. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Just raise both hands toward heaven. Close your eyes. Father God, we just thank you right now for the healing power of God flowing into her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And we thank you right now. You're just ministering to her like never before. Oh, that's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. The power of God's all over you. It's all over you. It's all over you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. I know we have a few first-time visitors. We're glad to have you here. We're here every Sunday night at 6 p.m. If you're a first-time visitor at this point in time, the connection team, they're going to take you to a special place, and they have a gift for you. And like I said, we thank you for coming, and We want you to come back. Amen. We have a gift for you as well. Like I said, mom and dad are they're relaxing this week. And, you know, just remember them in prayer. I mean, you know, they're getting older. I mean, you know, I mean, they just are. My mom has been having some physical battles too. She's got a case of the flu the other day, but she's doing a lot better. Amen. But remember them, you know, as you know, they get older. Sometimes we don't realize how old we're really getting, you know. And I mean, I guess the other day I realized how old I was getting when I went to my 30-year high school reunion. I'm like, man, I'm getting old. So all the other people, they're all old. You know, the one thing I was actually grateful for, I have a lot more hair than a lot of the other guys. You know, so thank God for that. You know, my hair might be turning gray, but it hadn't turned loose yet. Amen. And praise God. I plan to keep it for my hair for a while. I mean, you know, because, you know, why not? Amen. And then one of the ways we just mess around here is I'll be back there to shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's a door over there. You can go out. All right. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.